Chapter 8. The masters of the grace of God spoke about repentance through the Holy Spirit. Who are the masters of the grace of God? These are the... Yours says, oh, ministers. Oh, yeah, you're right. Mine says ministers. The ministers of the grace of God. That was my first thought, too. Peter and Paul. We're back to talking about Peter and Paul and the apostles. But no, we're not. It's the prophets. This is, he's speaking of the prophets. The prophets spoke about repentance through the Holy Spirit. Indeed, the master of the universe himself spoke about repentance with an oath. And now he's going to quote to us from Ezekiel 33. For as I live, says the Lord, that's an oath, you know. As I live, says the Lord, I do not desire the death of the sinner so much as his repentance.
Do you know what the Greek is? Is it prophetes or diakones or episcopes? Or, the minister is the word.
I didn't print it out. I had the Greek.
I wish I had a Greek copy.
Oh, do you? Because I could always give you one. Week yeah. after week. I'll print one out for you week after week. Okay.
I use it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, because I don't have it here. But
And they don't ask stupid linguistic questions in class.
Yeah, I'll give you a copy.
That's stupid.
That's right. Okay, so we knew that one. Y'all have heard that one before, right? I'm pretty sure we say that on Yom Kippur. For as I live, says the Lord, I do not deserve the death of the sinner, so much as his repentance. If it sounds a little bit different to you, remember Clement's quoting from the Greek, not from the Hebrew. So he's quoting from the Septuagint version of the scriptures. He also added this merciful declaration. So when it says he also, that's God, also added this merciful declaration. Repent, O house of Israel, of your iniquity. Say to the sons of my people, though your sins reach from the earth to heaven, and though they be redder than scarlet and blacker than sackcloth, yet... if you turn to me with your whole heart and say, Father, I will listen to you as a holy people. Where is that from? No looking at the apparatus. Sounds like a passage from Isaiah, but not really. That is nowhere. That's from nowhere. That's from a book of the Bible that Clement had that we don't.
Really?
Yep. Or a version. You know, one of the problems, I had this conversation with this woman today. I was having this conversation with this woman in Taiwan. It's an amazing story. Yeah, she, you know, email back and forth. This is a Jewish woman in Taiwan. And she's just done. She's just done. She's like, every time the apostles quote, you know, it's nothing like it. And every time they quote the Tanakh, it's nothing like what it says in the Tanakh. It's like, well, okay, there's a couple of things going on there. For one thing, they have way more versions of the scriptures than we do. I mean, we have our NIV, our NASB. They had multiple copies of the Hebrew alone. You know, we know this from the Dead Sea Scrolls. Then there's the Septuagint versions, which, you know, we see all sorts of divergences. Then there's the Targums, which is a very common, that's the Aramaic. You know, it's very common to use very loose paraphrasing in the Targumic style, which is just standard in first century Judaism. But one of the cool things is that the apostles had more Bible than we do.
Yeah,
they had more books.
Yeah,
we have a lot of them still. But, you know, it's like, for example, this is the classic example, but when Jude starts quoting Enoch, you know, as it says in the scriptures, he starts quoting Enoch, right? Right. But anyway, so this is a beautiful verse, isn't it? I'm going to read it to you again. I even put it on the sheet here because it's so beautiful. It's in where it says, repent, O house of Israel, in italics. Repent, O house of Israel, of your iniquity. Say to the sons of my people, though your sins reach from the earth to heaven. It's like a ladder, you know? And though they be redder than scarlet and blacker than sackcloth. They're red and black at the same time. Yet if you turn to me with your whole heart and say, Father, I will listen to you as a holy people. Isn't that great?
That is so
great. You turn to me with your whole heart and say, Father. You can see why the apostles would have loved this text, wherever they found it from. Because it has that Abba language in it, which they would have associated with the teaching of Yeshua.
What if it's a cut and paste?
Yeah.
Like from what? Solomon's prayer, I will listen from heaven, a holy people, from Leviticus. I mean,
I tried to do some of that. I thought, you know, I can see, repent, O house of Israel. I could pick that up out of the prophets. But it's the language seems so deliberate. Say to the sons of my people, though your sins reach from earth to heaven. Where is that?
Psalm 103?
I don't know.
I'll drown them in the depths of the sea, east and the west. It's like taking east and west and making it vertical.
Yeah, that's too... You know,
I'm stretching it.
I know, you're stretching it.
That was a
All right. Look, I probably put about 5 minutes of thought into this today. And I'm pretty sure that this is nowhere in the Bible. If you will turn to me with your whole heart and say, Father, I will listen to you as a holy people.
There's no then what?
No. Well, obviously, they're going to repent, because it starts with repent, O house of Israel. So you're repenting. So if you're repenting, then I will listen to you. I will receive your repentance, is the way we would understand that. I'll receive your prayer of repentance.
Fascinating comment. It's I will listen to you not as individuals, but as a holy people, the collective thing. And in the days of Clement, it was still the collective.
Oh, yeah, isn't that? So yeah. Cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Okay. And in another place, he says, and now this one you know. This is from Isaiah. Wash and be clean. This is from Isaiah. This is the paradigm for repentance. Wash and be clean. Remove the wickedness from your souls out of my sight. Put an end to your wickedness. Learn to do good. Seek out justice. Deliver the one who is wronged. Give judgment on behalf of the orphan and grant justice to the widow. And come, let us reason together, he says. Even though your sins be as crimson, I will make them white as snow. And though they be as scarlet, I will make them white as wool. And if you are willing and listen to me, you shall eat the good things of the earth. But if you are not willing and do not listen to me, a sword shall devour you, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken these things. That's a passage from Isaiah. Straight text from the Septuagint version of Isaiah. And the prescription, did I say that right? Prescription for repentance. Quit sinning, start doing good, turn to God. And Hashem will wash us, he'll clean us. I like the way that it starts with that imperative, wash and be clean. Because you can just almost hear John the Baptist picking this up as he's introducing his immersion for repentance, he calls it. Wash and be clean. Remove the wickedness from your souls. It just rolls right off John the Baptist's lips, doesn't it? It ends with the passage says, if you don't listen to me, a sword shall devour you. And I believe that this is another allusion to the first Jewish revolt and the fall of Jerusalem. So he says, he ends this chapter saying, seeing then that he desires all his beloved to participate in repentance. This is something God wants from all of his people, all of his beloved, to participate in repentance. He confirmed it by an act of his almighty will. What a strange ending, huh? What is the act of his almighty will that he confirmed his desire for everyone to participate in repentance? Well, you have to go all the way back to the middle of the previous chapter where he said, let us fix our eyes on the blood of Christ and understand how precious it is because it won for the whole world the grace of repentance. So according to Clement, the suffering of the Son confirms the call, the universal call to repentance. How so? Well, because in Clement's theology, then, through the suffering of the Son, repentance is efficacious, which means it works for the forgiveness of sins.
So repentance equals redemption.
Brings us to redemption. Yep. Yep. But not on its own merit. As you think about repentance, it doesn't have a lot of merit, actually. I mean, you still did the bad thing you did, right? I mean, it's like, I do a terrible thing. I just do this terrible thing, and then I say, I'm sorry, it doesn't make it go away. You know? It's still there. And in fact, I'm still the same terrible person. I might feel good and better about myself on the inside. I'm not going to do that again. But that's me going forward, you know, projecting in the future. And in reality, I am the guy who did the terrible thing, right? So how does repentance help anyone? And I mean, how does it, is it, yet the sages never stop talking about how great it is, you know? Oh, the greatness of repentance.
Reasons, for one thing, you're not carrying all this garbage and letting it eat at you. So if you repent, it's good to make that relationship with Christ, but you're also healing yourself. And then I think it allows God to redeem you, because I think in his position it's really hard. Maybe you have a murderer here, and maybe you have a Holocaust over here, and people are doing horrible things, but I think God is asking, wants to redeem his people. He loves everyone. He just loves everyone, so he wants you to be repentant. But I think it's twofold. If you repent and say you're sorry about something, you really mean it. I mean, let's say that you're a father and someone killed your daughter, for example. That would really bite. That would really hurt. How could you possibly forgive anybody for doing that? But you have to forgive people. And you have to repent for what you've done, and you have to forgive other people. And then the sentence and the redemption is that's God's work. But if you hold stuff inside of you, it makes you sick.
Sure. I mean, that's so. But again, here at this point, what we're saying is, I'm repenting because it makes me feel better. Then, my point is that in the court of justice. Mm-hmm. You know, even if I, like, for example, if I commit a crime and then I stand before the judge and say, but I repent for that, he's like, yeah, but you're still guilty of sin, right? And so the question is, at what point does repentance come to the, actually bring us to this cleansing that Isaiah is speaking about, that your sins will be white, taken away? And from what Clement is saying is that this divine act, this act of the Almighty will, the death, the suffering of the Tzaddik, the suffering of Yeshua, is the mechanism that makes repentance work for the forgiveness of sins in the court of heaven.
Is that just on an individual basis, or does that also work?
It should be national. The Messiah came to save. You know, he's the Messiah of Israel. So in the final redemption, it will be national, for sure.
As you read through Pirkei Avot, the heading on it, almost every page is Isaiah 60, that, you know, it's for the whole people, but, mm-hmm. You know, all of Israel is in effect saved.
And well, Paul says all of Israel will be saved, but he's looking towards the final redemption, of course, as well. So, okay, there you go. That's Clement 1 through 8. Next week, we'll try to take on maybe 6 chapters. So you could read ahead. 8 could be 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. 9 through 15 next week. All right. And remember, you can find First Clement free online.